Kellis Robinette in just a moment here from the Wichita Eagle, Kansas City Star. He was in Lawrence last night. John Kurtz, Tyler Dreiling back with you. Unfortunately, I was not. We were doing high school basketball at Manhattan High last night. I like to typically go to the game at Allen Fieldhouse in Lawrence, and of course, the one time I don't go, winds up being a, I don't know if all-time classic is quite the right word for it, but winds up being a thriller for sure.
Would that have been a game that you would have been glad you were at with the way that it finished and the bitterness of that, and would you still have been glad to be at that game?
Oh, yeah, I think so, because I think you know this about me. I mean, look, obviously I'm born and bred K-State guy. I went to K-State, but the more and more and longer I've worked in it, you know, you become more numb to just everything. I'm not nearly the fan, quote-unquote, that I was back then. So it doesn't, I guess long story short, it doesn't bother me quite the way that it used to. You know, if you would have said that to college, John, that would have been unbelievably and immensely painful, and I'm not sure that I could have handled it. I think it's a different story now. I would have been happy to have that much to talk about with the players after the game, and it would have been a fun game to cover. That would have been a fun experience. Yes, I do wish that I could have been there. A lot of funny stuff on social media has come in because of everything that happened with Travelgate, whatever you want to call it, last night from Svee. They range in things that legitimately made me laugh to Tyler Dreiling-esque jokes. We'll read some of them as the show
is that a term?
Rolls along. Yeah, I would say so.
Great.
You know, some of them just fall flat. The one that you texted me last night wasn't bad.
Thank you.
About Magellan or something like that.
Ferdinand Magellan, yeah. The first man to circumnavigate the globe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll give you some of the best of that as the show rolls along as well. And if you missed any of the Chris Lowry interview from earlier, we'll play some of it back at 5:25 in hour two of the show. For right now, we've got Kellis Robinette on with us, who was in Lawrence last night. What was the initial reaction of everybody on press row when the Svee shot and travel happened, Kellis?
Well, I would say everybody kind of looked at themselves and said he might have traveled, and then we all looked down at our computers and saw social media confirming exactly that he took at least one, possibly two extra steps, depending on your definition of the rule. It was just interesting because, I mean, as soon as you saw the replay, it was clear that he traveled and the basket shouldn't have counted and they should have gone to overtime. And you could tell Kansas State players and coaches thought the same thing because they were very hesitant to leave the floor. They huddled up, and I think they fully expected to see the play overturned on review, even though that's something they can't review. So it took a good long while. It was one of the more interesting buzzer scenarios I've seen, where you got the crowd going crazy, the band playing, you know, the song like they won, and KU celebrating, and then K-State's just there in the huddle acting like, well, we're going to keep playing. Which should have happened. It was a travel, and like I said, there are plenty of jokes, a lot of mileage out of it today. Very, very interesting last couple of seconds.
Kellis, obviously there's a ton more to still get into with this game, but while we're on the topic, I did want to ask you your opinion on this. I mean, the officials can go to the monitor and check to see where the clock was at when the shot was released. Would you be in favor of a rule change in college basketball to be able to call a travel after the fact, especially in a situation like that?
Well, maybe if you put in something where if it was in the final minute and you saw some type of blatant foul, you could overturn it. Maybe that would be beneficial, but by the same token, if you're doing that, then you're not reversing foul calls or enforcing foul calls that you didn't do initially in the first 39 minutes. So that's a tough one right there. I mean, obviously you wish that every call that does exist would get called and everyone that doesn't would go uncalled, but we don't live in that world, I guess. So right now I'd say we just gotta deal with the system we got. But that is an interesting question, especially if it was a type of deal like that. If you were going to do it, you know, maybe you could do it like they did with like people were saying they might do with the Oklahoma State Central Michigan football game, where if it's specifically on the last play and you can easily see what went wrong, you can correct it in that situation. Maybe that would be beneficial. I don't know. That's a question for someone much smarter than myself.
Kellis Robinette talking with us from the Wichita Eagle and Kansas City Star. I was pretty impressed, honestly, with just hearing some of the audio from the podium afterwards with how K-State seemed to handle it, both Bruce Weber and then Wesley Iwundu and DJ Johnson. What did you think of the way that they handled everything that happened there at the end of the game?
Oh, yeah, they handled it like champs. Those guys came in and really didn't complain about it at all. DJ Johnson, somebody just straight up said, what do you think of the officiating in this game? And said rather convincingly, honestly, that he thought the officials did a great job calling fouls right down the middle for both teams. So they, you know, they weren't going to get into finger pointing or saying, woe is me, that kind of stuff. They did take a little bit of the moral victory stuff out of there, having lost by an average of 19 points in Bruce Weber's previous four meetings in that building. To come so close to victory, I think a lot of those guys realized that, you know, not many teams, hardly anybody wins there, and there's still even a small collection of teams that can push them to the wire in that building. So in some ways it's a, you know, definitely encouraging. I could even say in a lot of ways it's encouraging that they could go in there and play that well against the number three team in the country. And I think probably what I liked the most, Adam, was that there just wasn't, they weren't really finger-pointing all that much, kind of like what they did last year. It seemed like every opportunity they had last year, they would come out and say, you know, it's bad luck, or we're the best, you know, 500 team in the country, whatever the record was at the time. Not the case this time. Even Bruce Weber was saying, yeah, you know, this could be a something that gives us a chip on our shoulder and helps us moving forward, but we still got to get better. We got to win. We can't just say, hey, we almost beat Kansas and be proud of it. So I was very, very encouraged by what I saw.
Of course, being here in Manhattan, we're going to look at things more from a K-State point of view. But one of the things I've been surprised by with kind of the national reaction to this game is that K-State seemed to, quote-unquote, point out some of KU's big flaws. And I guess my question for you would be, with K-State scoring 88 points last night, shooting 54% from the field, was that more to do with K-State having a very nice game offensively or KU having some real problems on the defensive end?
I'd probably lean more towards the K-State side of that question, just because I thought they made shots that in a lot of situations they haven't made. When they got the ball out on the perimeter, there wasn't any hesitation. Kamau Stokes was firing away. Dean Wade was shooting. Wesley Wundy was shooting. Really see a determination in their eyes that they wanted to be close in that game and to win it. And then in the second half, probably what I was most impressed with was once B.J. Johnson kind of went in there and said, you know what, if I'm going to get fouls playing hesitant, I might as well just play aggressive, and then went out there and really took it to the Jayhawks front court. I think those two things are really the most impressive thing they did. And it did show kind of a blueprint on how to bother Kansas. If you can make outside shots and get the ball inside and make Bill Self think, well, should I sub in Carlton Bragg? Do I need to give Landon Lucas a breather? Is just one big man enough in there? If you can do that, then you've got a realistic chance against him.
Talking with Kellis Robinette here on the game. Does ultimately what you saw last night, I know I've asked the form of this question after a number of the different games, this seems to be the one that would strongly shift most people's opinion on the team so far of any that they've played. Does this move the bar up of what you think perhaps this team winds up being this year?
I think so. When they lost to Maryland by one, I think that maybe raised more questions than answers, just because they had the late lead. And Maryland still, even though they've got a good record, they aren't that high in any of the computer systems. So it kind of made you think, well, here we go again. But this game, I thought this was the best I've seen Kansas State play in quite a long time. Maybe go back all the way to when they beat Oklahoma last year. I thought they were playing at that level in this game, and was just very encouraged by what they did out there. If they can duplicate that and do it in other Big 12 games when the competition's a little lesser, the building's not so loud and difficult to play in, and maybe the refs are giving them a few more breaks, things will bounce their way. I think the big thing here is that last year, when they were losing close games in the Big 12 and saying that they needed to find a way to win those, most of those close games were against, you know, middle of the pack and lower of the pack teams. They lost in overtime to Oklahoma State, to Texas, teams that barely made the NCAA tournament or missed out. And this year, their close losses are Maryland and Kansas, who are much higher quality teams. They've beaten everybody else. So right now, anyway, it seems like they've taken a step forward. If they can beat Oklahoma, you know, then they put themselves up against another, I guess, proving game against Texas Tech, because they were able to just beat West Virginia.
Yeah, all of a sudden that Texas Tech game looks like a lot of fun next week. Kellis, appreciate the time joining us here. We will talk to you soon. See you at the game coming up this weekend, and thanks for the time.
All right, anytime, guys.
All right, there's Kellis Robinette with us from the Kansas City Star and Wichita Eagle. I'm sure he's probably not looking forward to the trip to Lubbock next week, but that will be an interesting game as it stands right now, because we're not going to have too much time. We got so much to discuss with the K-State game, but also very exciting game last night between West Virginia and Texas Tech that the Red Raiders wound up winning.
It's a team that you have to start buying into for sure. I mean, I've been saying for a while that that number four spot in the Big 12 is up for grabs. K-State appears to have its eye on it, but they aren't alone. I think Texas Tech could be in that mix as well.
Some would argue that the officials took away the game from K-State last night. There are some things nobody can take away from K-State. We get into that next.